from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in the state's Capitol building. Today, the latest from the 101st legislative session here in Pierre, South Dakota. We'll talk about one Republican's efforts to give voters the chance to opt out of Medicaid expansion again, a bill that would give people the opportunity to challenge voter eligibility based on U.S. citizenship, dollars for rural health care approved by the state Senate, and even more. It's Wednesday, January 28th. Here are today's stories. A House committee advances a joint resolution that asks voters if they want to repeal Medicaid expansion at the general election in November. Many groups asked the legislature for Medicaid expansion for years, but it fell on deaf ears as the legislature never implemented it into state statute. In 2022, South Dakotans approved the expansion after a voter-led movement to put it on the ballot. Now, Republican legislators are asking voters if they still think that's the case, largely pointing to tough budget discussions the legislature's had to make in recent years. Notably, this year the governor's budget asks for flat increases in K-12 education, state employees, and healthcare providers. Representative Aaron Elward is the bill's prime sponsor. He says it's about asking the voters if this is where they want budgetary priorities moving forward, saying it really hit him during Governor Larry Roden's fiscal year 27 budget address earlier this month.
He was looking at, hey, I don't think we can do teacher pay increases. State workers don't expect any pay increases. And then you take a look at appropriations and the funding for just Medicaid overall is our biggest spender. So it's like, holy smokes. So my thinking around this is, okay, maybe the public still supports it, but maybe as they look at the financial situation, maybe they don't. So I think it would not be prudent to hold that back and just say keep it as is. I think it is the right thing to do to put it in front of the public again. And maybe the public supports it even more this time. But I think it's the right thing to do to ask them the question again.
Proponents also stressed policy decisions shouldn't be in the state's constitution, but rather in codified law so changes, if needed, weren't required by vote at the general election and could be made more quickly. Representative Greg Jameson voted no on the joint resolution. He agrees with that statement, but says it's too little too late.
So there was a lot of things happening where the public wasn't trusting what we were doing or would do. And so, I think the idea of having it in the Constitution isn't a good idea, in all fairness, but the realities are that's how they brought it to us as the voters, and so there was no other way to change it really after that. So it would be better to have it in statute for all good reasons, but I think we lost our window of chance, if you will, to let that happen.
After an 8-4 vote, the bill heads to the House floor. It's unclear if this would conflict with another resolution passed last year regarding Medicaid expansion, or if this resolution could change the state's spending of the program with the federal government. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. A bill seeking to add provisions for challenging South Dakota voters' eligibility based on citizenship advances from the Senate State Affairs Committee. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
Non-U.S. citizens are not allowed to vote in South Dakota elections. The policy has been in place since statehood. According to Deputy Secretary of State Tom Dietrich, this bill's only goal is to allow public challenges to something that's already illegal.
It does one thing. Adds to the list of things that can be challenged as to a voter is whether or not that person is a United States citizen.
It advanced from the committee with a due pass recommendation Wednesday. Opposition questions the bill's utility and potential consequences. Ellie Bailey is a lobbyist for the South Dakota Advocacy Network for Women. She says it's a do-nothing bill.
You'll see that there are numerous provisions that already exist in the law to ensure the accuracy of our voting rolls. It says that voter registration form of somebody who's registering to vote, that they declare that they're a United States citizen under penalty of perjury. This bill is unnecessary, and we ask that you oppose this bill.
These challenges could be made by any South Dakotan and would need to be issued 90 days prior to an election. Sioux Falls Democratic Senator Liz Larson worries about potential downstream consequences of this kind of policy.
It just seems too nefarious to me. Who gets the right? And on what grounds can someone challenge somebody as being a citizen? I just see a lot of problems there. I am shocked by what's going on in Minnesota. It's just a horrible situation over there. And to have those issues of people challenging citizenship for other people. It's just, it comes with so much baggage.
For example, a community of U.S. citizens that speak English as a second language could face stiffer, more frequent challenges to their right to the ballot box. That could make those communities less likely to vote and make the legislature less representative. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
In his State of the State address, Governor Larry Roden hoped the bill allowing the state to move forward with the Rural Health Transformation Program would be the first to cross his desk. He's likely to get his wish. Today, the Senate approved federal spending authority for the first 2 years of the program on a 32-2 vote. It was the bill's last stop on its way to the governor for his signature. Once the bill is signed, the Department of Health and other partners will move forward with the initial $189 million award for the fiscal year. This is the first of a five-year program. Additional federal funds will depend on this year's progress. The request for a proposal process for local providers to take part in the Rural Health Transformation Program is expected to begin in the next few months. Lawmakers are adjusting a bill intended to improve public trust in the state contracting process. Senate Bill 93 seeks to ensure state employees don't award contracts for personal benefit. Under the original bill, a state employee involved in awarding a grant over $1 million could not take a job with that organization for 2 years. A recent amendment applies that two-year wait time for grants over $5 million. The amendment also allows for a governing body to authorize a former state employee to bypass that wait time through a waiver process. That waiver would be public record. Senator Tim Reid of Brookings is the bill's prime sponsor. He says these changes account for the rising number of large-scale grants while maintaining public trust in the award process. The Senate approved the amended bill. It heads next to a committee hearing in the House. A Senate bill aims to make records of cast votes some ballots keep publicly available. The cast vote record is an electronic record of ballot images that counties keep of a voter's selections during an election. It does not include personally identifying information. The records are already created in some counties, however, they aren't available to the public. Senator Tom Pischke is the bill's prime sponsor and says doing so promotes transparency and strengthens election integrity. It would only pertain to counties where the recording technology exists. The Secretary of State's office supported the bill in the Senate State Affairs Committee. It advances to the Senate floor after an 8-0 vote. The South Dakota House of Representatives debated spending authority for the Federal Rural Health Transformation Program earlier this week. Here's a portion of the lawmakers' discussion in their own words.
Representative Mulder.
Yes, thank you. House Bill 1044 is authorizing the federal funds for the Rural Health Transformation application and program submitted by the Department of Health. This bill is brought to you by the One Big Beautiful Bill, President Trump, and Make America Healthy Again movement, which is a priority of the Trump administration. When he authorized $50 billion for the states to revitalize rural health in across America. South Dakota submitted an application, a five-year plan. Earlier in 2025, we were awarded $189 million of that five-year plan. And because of that, we can expect that our next years, we're gonna be close to what our ask was in that five-year plan. What we have before us, though, is a compromise to bring down that spending authority, not for the entire five-year plan, but for the first 2 years of the Rural Health Transformation Fund, due to how federal calendar and fiscal years operate differently than our state fiscal years. This year, we're asking in 1044 that we approve the first 2 years, which is $402 million of federal spending authority, that will expire in October of 27. After this year, you will have three more chances to vote on spending authority for these dollars. With that, I encourage you to vote green and move this project to the governor's desk so we can be the second state in the country that has already given authority. North Dakota gave it last Friday, and they also approved 2 years of spending authority.
Further remarks on House Bill 1044. Representative Aylward.
I think everybody agrees that our federal debt is out of control. It's just insane right now. You know, it's probably almost $39 trillion. We sit here and complain about how bad the debt is, how bad the spending is, but yet we're so quick to grab that when that carrot's dangling in front of us. And you hear the argument, well, if we don't take it, another state's gonna get it. Does that still make it right? We could keep going. I'm sure you'll hear it from others, but I hope you vote against this. Thank you.
Further remarks on House Bill 1044. Representative Schaefbauer.
I'm really torn with this bill because it addresses rural health care. I am born and raised Mobridge, South Dakota, very rural, 100 miles from anywhere that has a major hospital system. So Mobridge had to become its own healthcare system. But what I struggle with is that there isn't really a rural definition. And as we know what's happening with the three big hospital systems in South Dakota, they are taking over our rural hospitals. So is this going to benefit the rural hospitals, or is it going to benefit the big three hospitals that are in the larger cities? The other thing is, yes, the one big beautiful bill might not be so beautiful when it keeps adding to our federal debt.
Further remarks on House Bill 1044, Representative Emery. Whether we want to call ourselves rural or not, all of South Dakota is rural. In the eyes of CMS, in the eyes of HHS in Washington, South Dakota is rural. We are a state of less than a million people. We have great healthcare facilities in this state. I don't think it's anything new that the smaller hospitals, clinics in our quote-unquote rural area, what we call here in South Dakota, are dying. They're slowly closing their doors. They're cutting services. What funds come from this are going to be a once in a lifetime. I mean, these are what we can do. We have to use this money to change the dynamic that's happening here. This could be the last hurrah that we have to save those small critical access hospitals around this state. We have three magnificent healthcare systems in this state, but it's those small town hospitals, small town clinics that help keep small town South Dakota alive. And if we don't do something to keep those places open, we're just going to kill those small towns even faster.
You can hear the full debate attached to the story online.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
Health officials are warning about a measles exposure at a school in northeast South Dakota. The Department of Health says it happened January 15th at Milbank Elementary. A student with a confirmed case of measles was present at the school while infectious. The department is advising parents to monitor children for symptoms for 21 days after exposure. Early symptoms are similar to a common cold, but after a few days, they worsen to include a higher fever and a rash that lasts up to a week. The DOH says any children who are exposed and have not had a vaccine are excluded from school activities for 3 weeks. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.